from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. President Prabowo Subianto committed to complete Nusantara construction in 4 years. Indonesia strongly condemns Israel's military strikes against Iran. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto conveyed his commitment to complete the construction of the Indonesian new capital city, Nusantara, within 4 years. He said this during a retreat with the Red and White Cabinet at the Military Academy Magelang Central Jawa. The message was shared by Forestry Minister Raja Juli Antoni via his Instagram post after a briefing with the President in the last afternoon session of the retreat on Saturday. Furthermore, in several occasions, the head of state also promised to continue programs from the previous government in his administration. According to the timeline, in 2028, the new capital city is expected to be completed and host state government and political activities. The special staff to the head of the Indonesian new capital city Nusantara and spokesperson for the project, Troy Pantau, noted in a statement from his office that his party continues to attract domestic and foreign investors to invest at Nusantara, making it a super economic hub with the potential to drive the national economy. Indonesia has strongly condemned Israel's military strikes against Iran, describing them as violations of international law. On its official X account on Saturday, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs called upon all parties to exercise maximum restraint and refrain from any actions that could escalate tensions and lead to further instability in the region. Indonesia also reiterated that Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian territory remains the root cause of conflict in the Middle East, and that the establishment of an independent state of Palestine within the framework of the two-state solution is the only way to bring peace to the region. Therefore, Indonesia urges the UNSC to assume its responsibility under the UN Charter to stop all hostilities committed by Israel as soon as possible, including acts of genocide against Palestinians in Gaza and attacks against UNIFIL, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry said. The Indonesian Coast Guard once again expelled China's Coast Guard ship CCG-5402 that tried to enter the North Natuna Sea. The Indonesian Coast Guard spokesperson, Captain Yohanes Antara, informed that the incident occurred on Friday, October the 25th. The Chinese vessel not only entered the jurisdiction of Indonesian waters, but also disrupted the Arwana 3D seismic survey and data processing activities being carried out in the North Natuna Sea by state-owned energy company PT Pertamina East Natuna using the MV Geo Coral Ship. He said that when KN Pulau Dana 323 communicated with CCG 5402 via radio, the Chinese ship said it was patrolling in China's jurisdiction and asked the Indonesian vessel to not get too close to maintain safety during shipping. However, it was ignored by KN Pulau Dana 323, which worked together with the Indonesian Navy patrol ships. According to the rules, the action taken by KN Pulau Dana was appropriate because the location where the incident took place was not under Chinese jurisdiction. The Indonesian Coast Guard will continue to demonstrate its commitment to maintaining security, enforcing the law in Indonesian waters and jurisdiction in accordance with the instructions of the head of the Indonesian Coast Guard, Vice Admiral Irvansyah. Israel struck several military facilities in Iran on Saturday, marking the latest exchange in the hostilities between the two long-standing adversaries in a conflict that has simmered for months. Israel's strikes were in retaliation for the October 1st attack by Iran when Tehran fired about 200 missiles at Israel, though most were intercepted by the country's aerial defense systems. Experts spoke to characterize Israel's latest strikes as a calculated show of force in a conflict that has long threatened to engulf the region. However, they believe a broader escalation into a regional war remains unlikely. The World Health Organization chief warned Saturday, October the 26th, of a disastrous situation in the north of war-ravaged Gaza, with intensive military operations unfolding around and within healthcare facilities. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said on X, warning that a critical shortage of medical supplies compounded by severely limited access are depriving people of life-saving care. He highlighted Kamal Adwan, northern Gaza's last functional hospital, which was stormed by Israeli forces on Friday. According to Gaza's health ministry, the raid on the facility in the Jabalia camp, where Israel launched a major operation earlier this month, left two children dead. The World Health Organization chief lamented that the whole health system in Gaza has been under attack for over a year since Hamas' October 7, 2023 attacks inside Israel sparked the war. The WHO cannot stress loudly enough that hospitals must be shielded from conflict at all times, saying that any attack of healthcare facilities is a violation of international humanitarian law. Japan's voters began voting on Sunday to decide the fate of Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba's government in an election expected to punish his coalition over a funding scandal and inflation, potentially ending a decade of dominance for his Liberal Democratic Party, LDP. The LDP and its longtime partner, Komeito, will suffer a drubbing from voters, with the coalition possibly losing its parliamentary majority, opinion polls suggest, as Japan struggles with rising cost of living and increasingly tense relations with neighboring China. The LDP will remain easily the biggest force in parliament, polls indicated, but it could lose many votes to the number two party, the opposition Constitutional Democratic Party of Japan. Rescuers in the Philippines raced on Saturday, October the 26th, to reach people still stranded in areas made inaccessible by flooding from Tropical Storm Trami, which has killed at least 97 people. Trami battered the main island of Luzon and forced nearly 500,000 people to flee their homes as heavy rain caused widespread floods and landslides. In the hardest hit Bicol region, residents trapped on the roofs and upper floors of their homes were still awaiting desperately needed assistance, officials said. In the region's Camarines Sur province, food and drinking water were in increasingly short supply as some areas remained completely submerged and difficult to access. President Ferdinand Marcos visited the province on Saturday to inspect the damage. He told government officials during a briefing that the country has flood control systems, but the amount of water is unmanageable, forcing the country to come up with new solution too. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on President Prabowo Subianto focuses on balance to fulfill basic needs of the community in the red and white cabinet. A day after being inaugurated as President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia for the 2024-2029 period, President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka immediately inaugurated the ministers who will assist their duties. On Monday, October the 20th, the President inaugurated 48 ministers consisting of 7 coordinating ministers and 41 technical ministers, as well as 5 ministerial-level officials at the State Palace, Jakarta. On the same day, he also inaugurated 56 deputy ministers who will support the duties of the ministers. President Prabowo Subianto named the cabinet he leads as the Red and White Cabinet. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, October the 22nd, he also inaugurated a number of state officials and special envoys who will support the government's performance for the next 5 years. There are 7 special advisors, 7 special presidential envoys, 1 special staff, and 11 heads and deputy heads of agencies, including the position of Governor of the National Defense Institute, who were inaugurated by the President. A political observer from Brawijaya University, Andika Mutakin, said that the composition of ministers in the red and white cabinet led by President Prabowo Subianto represents the balance between politics, professionalism, and government stability. Meanwhile, a political observer from the Veteran National Development University of Jakarta, Ardli Johan Kusuma, said that the difference in the number of deputy ministers in the red and white cabinet is a form of priority for President Prabowo Subianto's program during his leadership. According to him, it shows different challenges between one ministry and another. In addition, ministries that have more than 2 deputies indicate that the institution is a priority for the president during his leadership. He said President Prabowo Subianto has mapped out which ministries have bigger problems so that they are given more deputies. On the other hand, a senior economist from the Institute for Development of Economic and Finance, INDEF, Didin S. Damanhuri, commented that President Prabowo Subianto's government tends to focus on various problems related to fulfilling the basic needs of the people. He said that this can be seen from the 8 quick win programs in the Asta Cita document, which emphasize social programs, education, and improving the quality of human resources. With various programs and targets to be achieved, Prabowo Subianto has assigned more than 100 people to assist him in the red and white cabinet. To maintain the effectiveness of the large cabinet, Didin Darmanhudi said that there need to be a clear incentive and disincentive scheme as a reward and punishment for the performance of each official and institution that is their responsibility. He also reminded the new government regarding the current less conducive domestic economic condition with the weakening of people's purchasing power, declining industrial competitiveness, and increasing debt burden. That was this week's Spotlight.
Patriot proklamasi, setia berkembang.
I'll start today in history with October the 27th, 1945, the Indonesian State Electricity Company founded. After Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August the 17th, 1945, the Japanese-controlled electricity company was seized by Indonesian youth in September 1945. The electricity company was then handed over to the government of the Republic of Indonesia. On October 27, 1945, the electricity and gas services was formed by President Sukarno. At that time, the power generation capacity was only 157.5 megawatt. Now, October 27th is celebrated as National Electricity Day. Moving on to October the 27th, 2005, civil unrest in France. The French civil unrest initially occurred in areas near the city of Paris starting on October the 27th, 2005. Violent clashes occurred between hundreds of young immigrants and French police. They were sparked by the death of two North African teenagers in Clichy-sous-Bois, a poor community east of Paris, and then spread to other parts of Seine-Saint-Denis. The civil unrest then quickly spread to other areas of France. On November the 3rd, 500 cars were burned. Then on November the 8th, French President Jacques Chirac declared a state of emergency in more than 30 cities in France after civil unrest continued in various cities. I'll end today in history with October the 27th, 2007. National Blogger Day established. National Blogger Day was first initiated by the then Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information, Muhammad Nuh, at the opening of the Blogger Party on October the 27, 2007. In 2011, the Blogger Party has changed into the On Off Indonesia event. Since changing its name to On Off ID, the Blogger Party has begun to emphasize the importance of bloggers being able to manage blogs more seriously so that they can produce something more useful. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's listener's mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Wolfgang Maschke in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German. In his letter, he asked to send him a QSL card. Hello sir, thank you for the reception report of the German program. Your letter will be replied to my colleague from the German section. Please be patient for the reply. While waiting, why don't we enjoy this beautiful song? Keep listening to Voice of Indonesia.
A thousand stories can be written in a day. A million melodies made into a beautiful tune. We all try to make it happen.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, also through website voinews.id. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital. Well, listener, in today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian racer wins World Supersport Motorcycle Championship. An Indonesian racer, Aldi Mahendra, officially became the World Supersport 300 champion at the Jerez Circuit, Spain on Sunday, October the 20th. He made history as the first Indonesian racer to win this event. Aldi Satya Mahendra became the world champion of the World Supersport 300 or World SSP 300, which is part of the World Superbike Championship. Aldi only needed 4 points at the Jerez Circuit, Spain to secure the 2024 World SPP 300 World Championship title. The 18-year-old racer finished 3rd in race 1 of the World's SPP 300 behind David Salvador and Garcia Gonzalez. Aldi then finished in 6th place in race 2 right behind his closest rival, namely Loris Venneman from the Netherlands or MTM Kawasaki. Although he failed to reach the first podium in the 2 World Supersport 300 races at the Jerez Circuit, the results in Spain were enough for Aldi to secure the world championship title. Aldi finished first in the final standings with 221 points, while Loris Venneman was in second place with 200 points. The BR Course Yamaha team racer was born in Bantul, Yogyakarta on June 27, 2006, showed talent, consistency, and discipline during the competition. Aldi showed his skills and consistency by scoring points in every race throughout the 2024 season. In a press conference with Yamaha Indonesia Motor Manufacturing in Jakarta on Thursday, October the 24th, Aldi Satya said, "Consistency is the key to everything. The journey of riding a motorbike on the circuit throughout 2024 was filled with drama and a series of impressive results, including an important victory in Misano and several podium finishes. Despite facing stiff competition from Loris Venneman from the MTM Kawasaki and Inigo Iglesias from Fusport RT Motorsport by SKM Kawasaki, Aldi performed consistently to win the World Supersport 300. That was My Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply a letter from Abid Hussein Sajid in Pakistan. He was listening to an English program through frequency 4755 kHz on October 19, 2024 with SIO444. In his email, he also enclosed audio recording of English programs. It was so clear. "Thank you for your reception report, sir. Long time I've received your reception report, but I'm sure you'll still be loyal to listen to our broadcast. As appreciation, I will play this next beautiful song. Enjoy."
Let's fall in love like the old-fashioned way, just like they do in old movie. When Romeo meet Juliet, when Harry met Sally, no emojis, and we don't need IG story. We just say what we wanna say to a love letter and poetry. Sing a song that make you smile. I want to buy a flower just for you. So let me take your hand. We take a walk at night across the city until the morning sun.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still tuning in to the English program of Voice of Indonesia on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voanews.id and RRI Digital mobile app. For the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Tuwondo Waterfall in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is famous for its beautiful natural tourist attractions, especially in Bantul district. There is a very enchanting natural tourist attraction in Bantul called the Tuwondo Waterfall. The name Tuwondo comes from Japanese language. The word Tu is taken from Watu, which means stone, and Wondo comes from Ondo, which means stairs. So in short, the meaning of the word Tuwondo is a stone with stairs. This name is used as the name of the waterfall because the shape of the Tuwondo waterfall is like stairs, making it very beautiful and enchanting. There are three levels of the Tuwondo waterfall. Each level has a different height, ranging from 3 meters to 5 meters. The Tuondo waterfall itself is very beautiful because there are still many trees, and no wonder that the atmosphere at the Tuondo waterfall is very cool and pleasant. Although the facilities at this tourist spot are not yet complete, it doesn't dampen the desire to enjoy it. You can sit on the surrounding rocks with cool temperatures and a pleasant natural atmosphere that will certainly provide an unforgettable experience. In the morning is the best time to visit the Tuondo waterfall if you want to take pictures, because at that time, the atmosphere around the waterfall is still very natural, with the morning sunlight making the scenery look even more exotic. The location of the Tuondo waterfall is in Lemah Abang Village, Bantul District, Special Region of Yogyakarta, about 14 kilometers from the center of Yogyakarta City. To get to this tourist spot, you can use a rental vehicle because there is still no public transportation. During the journey to this tourist destination, visitors can see andesite rocks and also limestone rocks, which add to a pleasant holiday experience. This waterfall is called a seasonal tourist destination because it can only be enjoyed fully during the rainy season. If it is the rainy season, the flow of the waterfall will be heavy and looks very beautiful, while in the dry season, unfortunately, this waterfall is dry and almost without water. So if you are in the special region of Yogyakarta province, Indonesia, find time to visit this beautiful Tuondo waterfall. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Akiyoshi Teraoka in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese through streaming vinews.id. In his email, he said he was glad because our station has finally increased its frequency and started broadcasting on 4755 kHz and also increased the output on 3325 kHz. Some months ago, he could hear VOI broadcasting very nicely. Hello sir, thank you for your reception report and also compliment. I'm also glad because you monitor our broadcast clearly. Your email has been forwarded to the Japanese section. Please be patient for the reply. Now let's enjoy this next beautiful song. Happy listening.
Dalam kehidupan kini yang membingungkan.
Listen to the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany.
Today's Miscellany is featuring Everblast Festival 2024. One of the music festivals in Jakarta that should not be missed is the Everblast Festival 2024. Targeting millennials, the Everblast Festival is a nostalgic music festival from the 2000s that is held annually. Last year, this festival was attended by thousands of people who wanted to see the Canadian band Simple Plan and the alternative rock bands from the United States, Hubestang and The Rasmus. This festival presents international and local bands that were popular in the 2000s. Everblast Festival officially announces Sleeping with Sirens as the festival's lineup. In addition to being seen on the Everblast Festival poster, this was also confirmed through the band's official website, sirensmusic.co, which listed Jakarta as part of their tour. Not only Sleeping with Sirens, a number of big international bands also took part in the lineup, such as Two Door Cinema Club, 311, and the Dipa PP. Not only international bands, but Everblast Festival also features local bands such as J-Rox, Rocket Rockers, Efek Rumah Kaca, and a number of other local bands. Everblast Festival 2024, which will be held on November the 30th at Gambir Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta, will give audience experience of a night full of excitement with international and national musicians. That was Miscellany today.
Jalan itu aku menggoda dirimu. sepeda, ku berkenalan denganmu. Ku kayu lebih kencang mengikuti sepedamu, dan kau pun tersenyum memberiku harapan. Na 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 Esperaku memberi kisah baru. Di jalan itu aku menggoda dirimu. Naik sepeda, ku berkenalan denganmu. Oh, ku kayuh lebih kencang mengikuti sepedamu, dan kau pun tersenyum memberiku harapan.
Of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's music corner presents a song by Nabila Taqiyah. Nabila Taqiyah was born on November 21, 2005 in Banda Aceh, began to be known since she became the runner-up of Indonesian Idol Season 12. At the beginning of her career in the music industry, Nabila released a winning song entitled Menghargai Kata Rindu, or Appreciate the Words Missing You. Now she is back with a single Terpatah Terluka, or Torn in Pain, which was released on October 18, 2024. This song presents a special collaboration with Indonesian father-son noted musicians Yofi Widianto and Arsy Widianto, who are known for their romantic and emotional works. The song carries the pop ballad genre with a sweet yet melancholic arrangement, strengthening the emotions contained in the song lyrics. The song tells about the bitterness of loving someone who already belongs to someone else, even though both of them have feelings for each other. Well, listener, let's enjoy the latest single by Nabila Taqiyah, entitled Terpatah Terluka.
Cinta More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Harapan di depan. Marilah beraksi, bangkit, berani hadapi.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Apa harap di benak tanya, kita sama-sama tak berdaya. Apa rasanya coba bertahan di terjang luka. Sudut pandang mulai berbeda, arah jalan terbagi dua. Semakin kita paham sudah tak mungkin bersama. Bila tiba waktu yang menjemput kita berpisah, kita tahu kita sama-sama tak lagi mencinta.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or through our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, sending out. Bye for now.